Yeah. Let's go. It is the John DiBella Show Daily Podcast on the most wonderful day of the week. It's Friday. Happy weekend, everybody. It's June 28th. A sweep of those stinking Mets yesterday, and our entire company was out at the ballpark to see it. Or were they? It was a hot one, as Santana and Rob Thomas would say. And we talked, of course, the Philly sweep right off the bat today. We also talked a Southern boy who won the abductee award of his town. A rock-eating dog got our attention. And then pretty much the second half of the show was turned over to the man with big laughs from a small package. Brad Williams made his return to the John DiBella Show, and we think you'll enjoy. We kept him around for more than one break. We just love him that much. Have a listen. Here we go. It is the Daily Podcast.
Speaking of hot, okay, the Phillies are officially hot,
yeah,
at least for 4 days.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was
swept.
I got to tell you something. We went to the game yesterday. Steve and I went to the game yesterday, and we arrived separately, and I'm waiting online to get into the stadium, and I'm seriously considering, why am I going to this game?
It was so hot.
Yeah. Was it bad?
It was insanely hot.
No shade, right? At the bank?
No, not at all. Yeah. And we were in that, what did they call that area?
Scoreboard porch.
Right.
So left field, the right above Harry the K's, and then the second level of Harry the K's.
Right. Basically under the sign.
Oh, okay.
Under the video screen.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you were under a magnifying glass, essentially.
Right. So, yeah. And as we're getting up there, he was talking about when you're coming, you're walking up these stairs, there's like three flights of stairs. And, you know, and you're getting up there, and there's this great breeze.
Uh-huh.
And then you realize that once you walk onto the porch,
uh-huh,
the porch is blocking the breeze.
Yeah, the breeze was coming north to south.
It's like a massive concrete patio,
uh-huh,
with no windows.
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. But
for the Mets, it was brutal.
Yeah. Not as brutal as it was for the
Damn
Mets.
Right.
And aren't they meeting up with them? They're going on to a home run before the All-Star break. And the last games they play, they were going to play the Marlins this weekend, and then they play the Mets.
So they should be on a 10-game winning streak by the time they hit the All-Star.
One,
well, I think they had the Braves also, though. They did
right.
play
oh,
the,
did
Braves
the Braves
as well,
also. Yeah. Well, that would make sense. Marlins, Braves, and then Mets. Right?
You got to start somewhere.
Yep.
Right.
Four
games,
seven
straight
exactly
losses, and now you got to start right somewhere, and right that could be the series that turns it around.
And you know, and because we have this bamboo in the studio now, the show's sounding much better.
What do you think this sound is?
The John DiBella Podcast.
Could you make a sound like that?
102.9 MGK.
So, look, there are a lot of things that go on in the South that we find strange. And one of them has to be alien abductions.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it's always some guy with a six-pack of Schlitz sitting outside of a double wide.
God, I'm jealous.
Right, you know?
Of what? The double wide or the Schlitz?
Both. Everything.
All right.
Well, all.
Someone in Mississippi claims that him and a friend were abducted while fishing.
All right.
And this happened back in 1973. And to honor him, his hometown has unveiled a historical marker that says that him and his buddy in 1973 yes were abducted.
Wow.
They had a
they
had a ceremony and everything. Listen to this.
It does mean a lot. It meant a lot, all my family coming and Charlie's family coming down here today. But this means so much to have, especially the city. And Jackson
Charlie's
County
dead.
And Pastor Gula to recognize this.
This is absolutely a thrill for me, especially after meeting Mr. Parker.
I think it's all wonderful. I've been waiting for something like this for years. I just wish my dad was here to see it, and he would have been very proud.
It's emotional to me. I can't really describe it because I'll break out in tears if I do. And I wish when I die I could be buried right here under this plaque. That would explain it the best that I can say. It's quite a lot.
The John DiBella Show. Classic Rock. 102.9 MGK.
I don't believe in alien abductions, though. I've read a lot about alien abductions. I really have. I'm a big fan of that stuff. And I don't believe in them because it's always the same circumstances, the same type of people, the same situations. It's never a black guy. It's never a Hispanic guy. It's never a physicist from the Netherlands. It's always some dumb white guy in the middle of nowhere. Never anyone of importance. It's always some cracker.
I was abducted and anally probed by two aliens who had disguised themselves as my buddies Brad and Duke. I was taken on board a spaceship that was made to look like the back of Duke's warehouse. Their alien language sounded like humans when we giggle.
But here's my theory. If people really are getting abducted by aliens and aliens really are doing that, what's going through their mind? They're the advanced culture. They got here before we got there. What are they thinking? We've mastered the infinities of travel through time and space, but the anal cavity eludes us. The vast sea of the unknown that is the universe is but a shallow pond compared to the depths of mystery contained in the human.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Oh, what, you ain't pregnant with a bucket of chicken?
102.9.
Kiss my bare ass right now in front of all these good people.
Nobody can understand what you're saying.
MGK.
Seeing that all three of us are dog people and we all have dogs at home, I'm going to assume that you wouldn't do something like this, but I'm going to advise other people, especially if you're out at a cookout, right? This happened in someone's backyard, but you could easily see this happening as easily in an outdoor situation or cookout situation as you would in someone's backyard. A woman in Ohio recently found out a golden retriever had eaten over 5 pounds of rocks from her backyard.
Wow.
It turns out that they were barbecuing, and there was all of this grease from the barbecue, from the steaks and everything else that they cooked, and they dumped it on a bunch of rocks that were there.
Right.
And then the dog ate the rocks.
Oh, man, well, screw licking. I'm just going to
Yeah. I mean, I've seen dogs do that before, you know, go after little rocks, and then some idiot usually goes, well, it's a way of them taking care of themselves medically. You know, it's kind of like they're eating grass. Yeah, they're eating that on purpose because they're taking care of themselves medically.
Well, it makes them throw up.
Yeah, right.
I'm a dog doctor, John.
Yeah, is that what it is?
The first bite didn't stop the dog.
Right.
Like the crunch.
No, dude, it's grease.
No. 5 pounds of rocks from this dog. Can you imagine this dog pooping?
Next year's dog walk. We'll have a contest.
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
John DeBella.
Someone smells stinky.
102.9.
Oh, it's me.
MGK.
In our studio. Can we use this as a theme song?
Why not? Kill it, Randy Newman. I'm aware.
Brad Williams is here.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Well, first of all, I leave your city. I come back, and the Uber driver that picks me up from the airport just goes, all right, you got to get your bamboo tree. And I'm like, what?
Yep. Your bamboo tree.
What's
you got to have that. Yeah,
in Philadelphia, where I leave, I come back. This is the town of cheesesteaks and batteries being thrown at Santa Claus. And they come back and you guys are all zen, getting all bamboo trees. Right. What's happening?
Whatever gets you a win.
Winning.
Have you heard about it? So you don't know what the story is behind this?
Like, apparently the Phillies have won 4 in a row and some rookie brought in a bamboo tree.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
And now everyone's like, we got to get you bamboo trees.
Yeah,
and,
that's it.
Right. So it's weird. It's the hardest, most blue-collar city in the country. And now I'm walking into a Japanese Zen garden? This is not my Philadelphia. I'm very confused by this. But I do like coming here and I love the Philadelphia sports. I love it.
Well, you're a sports junkie to begin with.
Dude. Well, see, here's the thing though. I watch a ton of sports, but I get mad at weird parts about sports. Like the NFL draft, right?
Okay.
Like the first number one overall pick is this guy, Kyler Murray. He's a quarterback from the University of Oklahoma, and he's 5'10". Why do I know he's 5'10"? Because the announcers wouldn't shut up about it. Every 2 seconds, he is so brave at 5'10". He has overcome so much at 5'10". Can you imagine the struggles he's had to endure at 5'10"? I am 4'4". I will stab you in the neck. I don't know how. I'll have to drag over a trampoline. I don't know, but like, do you realize what horrible things I would do behind a dumpster to be 5'10"? His struggle at five. What has he overcome? He had to climb over mountains of vagina on the way to the field. It bugs me, man. But the one thing that I love I love a few things about Philly sports. One thing that I love is the Flyers mascot.
Gritty. Yeah, everybody.
A national treasure.
In all honesty, in a matter of 24 hours,
yeah,
he went from the most hated character in the city to number one mascot within 24 hours.
And you guys are home of the Philly fanatic, and now Gritty's like, I'm here too. Like, it's, I love, because now if I go to a Flyers game,
right,
I'm not the weirdest thing in the stadium. People are like, well, we could stare at the midget, or we could stare at that acid trip abomination Gritty that's right over there. I'll stare at Gritty. It's free mushrooms, essentially. It's fantastic. So I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the city, and that's why I love coming here, and that's why I'm doing two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow at Helium Comedy Club in Philly. I love this city so much. I brought the wife.
You brought really?
Yeah.
She's at that point. And she's at that point because now what are you? You're a year and a half into the marriage?
Yeah.
So she's now the wife. Okay.
Yes, she's now the wife. It's not. We've gotten past the like, oh, it's my wifey. It's my sweet buttercup. It's my thing. No, it's like, it's the wife. But no, she came out here and she doesn't come to every gig, you know.
Right.
Like she doesn't tell me that I'm coming to Des Moines. You know, like that doesn't happen. But she came out to this one because she wanted to experience Philadelphia. I've got some family here.
Uh-huh.
So we're all gonna hang out together. It's good. I like having the wife away from the house. My wife is fantastic. I love her.
Right.
But she's got this friend named Carol. Oh, God, I hate Carol. Okay, like, that's her best friend, and I hate her. She's always over at the house, and she's this person. We've all had one of these in our lives where, like, you have that one perpetually single friend who's always trying to fix all her friends' relationships. It's like, oh, I'm going to take the advice from Carol, who's been divorced twice by age 32? No! You obviously don't know. She reads all these online surveys that you're supposed to talk about with your husband or your boyfriend, but she doesn't have a husband or a boyfriend because she's 100% pure Carol. So then she calls my wife. It's like, are you doing enough activities with Brad? You should be doing a lot of activities with Brad. That's the only way you know you love each other, if you do a lot of activities together. Man, we know what activities means. When the wife says, let's do an activity, that means it's going to be something that she loves, but we hate.
Yeah.
And we all know that. No man's ever woken up with a free Saturday and thought to himself, sweet, flea market. Okay, that's never happened. Never once has a wife just been like, you know, let's just sit on the couch and eat pretzels and watch sports. That's never happened. No. So I'm glad to be away from Carol.
All right.
Okay, we're away from Carol. Life is good.
Does she know how you feel about Carol? I can't imagine you holding it back.
No,
but I'm just curious.
I do a whole routine on it. And now she's in. And it is great because we did a show last night at Helium, and then so all she helps sell my merch. My
not Carol, your wife.
Not Carol. No, she would mess it up. So then, like, the whole audience is coming out, and they see my wife behind the merch table, and they know her, and they're like, oh yeah, so Carol, like, she's a bitch, right? And you're like, and I'm like, now I got a bunch of strangers saying your best friend's a bitch. I love this. I'm winning the fight, Carol. I'm winning. You're not doing it. Why? Like, as we become adults, and I guess kids do this too. Like, I don't understand why we're friends with people when we don't like them. Like, it is like we could all think of a friend that's in our lives where when they call and you see their name on the caller ID, you go, oh boy, like you're not happy. You're not like, hey, it's been a few days. Like, you're not like that. You're just like, oh boy, what do they want? What do they want me to do? Oh, let me guess, you're moving again. Like, it's that all the time, man. It's that all the time.
Now has the family expanded? Did you get a dog or something?
Yeah. If you go to my Instagram, my wife got the dog.
Okay.
So
it's not a manly dog?
Oh no, it's a very manly dog.
Oh really?
It's a 70-pound pit bull.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah.
It's almost as much as you weigh.
Yeah, it's a beast. Yeah, so I don't walk the dog. The dog's just like, we're going this way. And I don't even walk the dog. It's a 70-pound pit. I throw a saddle on this thing, and I'm good. That's how I... But I will say this, is that I love taking this dog for a walk because, like, people see a midget walking a pit bull, and they're like, that's a badass midget. Like, you know what I mean? Like, bro, that'd be like if you could walk a velociraptor. You know, like, it's amazing. And all the neighbors that I don't like, they cross the street when I walk the dog. It's the best. Yeah. So everyone should definitely have a pit bull. And some people are like, they're mean. They're violent. They're not.
No.
They're sweet and they're amazing. And like, the thing is the pit bull breed was bred with a specific purpose, and that's to watch children. Their nickname is the nanny dog, which is why my dog loves me. It saw me, was like, that's my baby. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like a kid. My baby's got a beard, but whatever, I don't judge. I love the dog. Now I'm like this huge like pit bull advocate. The thing is like there was a show about 8 years ago on Animal Planet called Pit Boss, which was all about a dwarf rescuing pit bulls.
Right.
So now, if I wear a hat like I'm doing right now, everyone's like, Pit Boss! And I'm like, damn it! I just got over Dinklage. You know, this show just ended. I thought I would be top dwarf, right? And now I'm like back to this show that was on like four 8 years ago called Pit Boss. And I remember when that show came out, I'm just like, it's a show about a midget that rescues pit bulls. And I'm like, what? Why are you rescuing? Like, rescue something that, I don't know, isn't your natural predator. You know, like something else. But no, now that I have one, I completely get it. It's weird because, like, when I'd be on the road, my wife used to send me, like, sexy, naughty photos. Now she just sends me photos of the dog, and I'm happy about it. He's like, he's on his back. I'm like, yeah, he is. Like, I'm a dork. I'm a big dog dork now.
I realize that this is just such a stupid question, but sure, do you know away. Dinklage?
I do not. I don't think he, I think he would like me, but I don't know because, like, all right. So, well,
are
like,
there dwarf rivalries?
Oh my god! Oh,
yeah. Bloods and Crips,
yeah, Bloods and Crips, Jets and Sharks, yeah. Okay, I could have stopped after the Bloods and Crips. That's a manly reference. Why did I have to go Jets and Sharks? Now it's like, hey, we're a Jet. You're a Jet. You're a Jet all the way.
I was gonna start snapping my fingers myself.
That was one of your wife activities, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Watching that. I wish that was my wife influencing me. No, that's pure me. I am all musical theater.
That's showbiz, baby.
It's I'm the worst when like guys are talking about like their favorite movies, and I'm like, hey, have you seen Hello, Dolly? Why do I whatever? But yeah, it's there's like sex within the dwarf community. Sex spelled S-E-C-T-S, not
yeah. Okay,
I mean there is a lot of sex in the dwarf community.
Yeah, no, they have their own section on Pornhub.
Yeah, they do. And if you ever go to a dwarf convention, I used to go to those. Oh man, they're the best. I went to those in my single days. I've messed up more dwarves than a bad tailor. Okay, like I have laid waste because like we would have a lot of fun and we would sleep like eight of us in the same bed. You have a king size bed. We sleep sardine style. You know, like we're sleeping sideways. So it was like that one scene from Eyes Wide Shut. You just walk in and it's just bedlam going on. It was awesome. You know, it's like seven dwarves on the bed, one who can't quite make it on top, like one who's trying to hop on the bed, but they can't. You know, they need like those stairs you have for your dachshund. Yeah, and you put it next to the bed. We need that. We need that.
The one and only Brad Williams is here in the studio. Now, I didn't realize, I mean, I have to admit, Brad, yes. You know, after a comedy show, I don't go up to the comic and buy his latest special or album. And, you know, so I was a little embarrassed when I found out that when I was telling you about daddy issues, I said, oh, I love your special. And you're going, which one? I'm like, the one with your father in the audience.
Yeah,
that one.
There
yeah.
you go, that one.
That one. Yeah.
Well, that is weird because as a dwarf, when someone tells you, like, I love your special, you're like, are you saying I'm special? Are you saying, like, are you talking about the comedy special? Or are you talking about, like, oh, I love your parking space? Or I love your, you know... something like that. But thank you for watching it. I do appreciate it.
And you did bring up a point. I mean, it's funny as all get out, and then the end of it, you point your dad out, and you know, and I have to be the. I don't know why, but I was surprised that your father was normal size.
Right. It shocks everyone.
Right, you know?
Everyone thinks that, like, dwarves only come from dwarves. Like, we're like gremlins. Like, you get us wet and, like, four other midgets pop out.
You're a species.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's not like you can drive down the street and be like, which house do the dwarves live in? Oh, it's the mushroom with the door in it. Like, it's not, that's not how it is. But Dad's tall, and that really sort of, he molded me, and the fact that he's tall, that kind of made me become a comedian, because he had this realization that he knew that I'd be made fun of because I'm different. So many parents now are like, my child is completely normal. Have you seen your kid?
No child is completely normal.
No. Yeah, I was just thinking about it. My friend just named her kid. This is real. My friend just named her kid Sunbeam. Okay, Sunbeam.
It was a great car.
And I'm like, listen. When you're naming your kid or your dog, you have to understand. It has to be something that can be screamed across a room.
Yep.
And people will stop, like, you can't, because you can't be like, Sunbeam, put down, no, that doesn't strike fear in their heart. No, Sunbeam, no, like, that's not okay, like, that's not, like, the same thing with your dog. You can't, you can't name your dog Mr. Fluffikins, okay, like, because you can't be like, Mr. Fluffikins, stop pooping on the rug, it sounds like you're an Ed Wynn character, wow. An Ed Wynn reference. Great job, Brad. The kids are loving the Ed. Oh my goodness, he's talking about me for the first time in years. Wow, that's an impression nobody knows. Right, well, good job, Brad.
All right, seven people in a room, three got it.
Yeah, exactly. So like my dad knew that I'd be made fun of as a kid, so his philosophy was to make fun of me first. Very, like, this is why I love coming to the East Coast, because like I'm in the West Coast where like, all right, so the East Coast has a model of parenting, which I like to call go ahead. Okay? Because the West Coast parenting, if a kid is running across the thing and he's about to touch the stove, he's like, no, Sunbeam, no! Is this because we didn't have a breakthrough in group therapy this week? Is this because I introduced gluten into your diet? Yeah. When your other dad gets home, we're going to have a talk about this. Like, that's the West Coast style of parenting. The East Coast style of parenting is the kid is running across, he's about to touch the stove, and the parent just goes, go ahead.
Yeah, and I use. I
figure it out.
Kid, life comes at you fast.
the Ferris Bueller thing. Yeah. That's great. And because the kid touches the stove, gets burned, and
never touches the stove.
Yeah, and the parents like, well, you're not going to do that again. Are you stupid? They're like, it's the best. I'm all for that that style of parenting. When I finally have a kid now. So my wife is tall. That's right. That's how good I am at my job. Now I will
and
say
she
this.
Sews.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. So here's the thing. So if we have a kid, because we're trying to have kids now, it's a 25% chance dwarf, 75% chance tall. And some people are like, well, which one would you prefer? I have no preference. There's pros and cons to both, okay? Like, tall kid, amazing. Love a tall kid. Wife won't be able to hide snacks from me on the shelves anymore. That'd be great. I could finally find out what a damn s'more Pop-Tart tastes like. They're in my house. They're in there. Never seen them. So that'd be great. But then the downside is like the kid grows up, the kid turns eight. Now I gotta discipline the kid. Like, go to your room. He just picks me up, screw you, dad. You know, just punts me across my living room. What if I get a dwarf kid? That'd be awesome. I'd love to have a dwarf kid because my wife is Chinese, so I would have an Asian dwarf baby. Which is, come on, Asian dwarf baby. That's not a kid. That's currency. Okay, that's something you have to find to break the spell. You know what I mean? Bring me the arm of the Asian dwarf baby. You know, it's awesome. That'd be great. But then the kid grows up. The bad part is like maybe the kid grows up, hates being a dwarf, like doesn't like it. that's going to be really awkward for me because I'm not going to be able to look at the kid and be like, I don't know how it happened. maybe you got it from your mom. Like, I can't do that. So, yeah, we're trying. But what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, my dad. So, yeah, so that's sort of the philosophy that my dad raised me with, is sort of that East Coast philosophy. But, yeah, and everyone's shocked. Everyone's shocked when they find out that both my parents are tall. They're always trying to find a justification why I'm a dwarf. Like, they're like, oh, your parents are tall? That's where are they from? And I go, well, my dad's from Texas. My mom's from Georgia. And they go, oh. Like,
what did you figure out?
What are you talking about? They're like, you're what? So the cousins? I'm like, no. This is not what happens when cousins go at it. This is not an occurrence. Yeah.
They start playing banjo, the kid, at four.
Yeah. That's why Deliverance was going on when we walked into the house. No, that's not how it works. Had you been
normal height, mm-hmm. Do you believe you would be doing what you're doing for a living?
Oh, God, no. No, I'd probably be one of those people that was, like, really good looking and then was, like, really athletic throughout high school and then got to college and was like, oh, I've never had to develop a skill because I'm really good looking. Isn't it the best when you go through Facebook and find the really good looking people from high school and they're just like, oh, you're doing nothing now because you never had to develop a personality or brains or anything like that? Now you're in your 30s and you're like, oh, I just don't get stuff for free all the time. That's not what happens. No, you have to grow up, have a real life. Yeah, I'd probably one of those people because like I've seen photos of my dad when because like my dad went bald at like age 34, like just went completely bald. But I've seen photos of him at like age 23. My dad was a stud.
Yeah,
my dad. He could do some stuff. So, I probably would have looked more like that. And then I probably would have never developed any kind of skill because humor is a defense mechanism. That's why it always blows my mind. When I make jokes about people with disabilities, like, the only people that get defended are the people without disabilities. Like, people that have disabilities love it. It's the best. There's a guy in a wheelchair. Couple nights ago, I was making jokes about him. He was laughing. You could tell because the chair was moving back and forth real fast. And he was laughing, having a great time. The only people that got offended were the non-disabled people. Some guy stood up like, stop making fun of him. What if he gets mad at you? I'm like, I'll run upstairs. Okay, I'm not worried. They never get, like, people with disabilities never get mad. Right. It's always the people without disabilities. It's always people getting offended on behalf of other people. I hate that stuff. I'm not into it. I'm not into outrage culture. Yeah. This is a comedy show. You come, you laugh, and if it's not funny, great. Don't laugh, but just wait 30 more seconds. There's another joke coming. You don't have to stop the show. I was offended. No one gives a crap. No one cares.
The college I went to was one of the first schools in the nation that was handicapped enabled. I mean, this was, I'm talking about in the late 60s.
Okay.
Right? We had ramps everywhere.
Yeah.
And we also had, you know, and a lot of people in wheelchairs, a lot of people in automatic wheelchairs, you know, those lay down ones, you know, those chairs.
Right?
And a lot of blind people.
Yeah. Right?
And blind people have a wonderful sense of humor.
Oh, that's the best, right?
And so in the dorms, like, we had this one blind dorm mate, mm-hmm. who would every once in a while, because we had towers, mm-hmm. and every once in a while would come running in screaming, oh, my God, fourth floor, Tara C, take a look at the chick. She's naked in the window. And we all go running up to the window going, you son of a.
Isn't that the best? There was a blind guy at one of my shows not too long ago, and he sat in the front row, and then I started ranting on him because I'm like, why do you get the front row seat? I'm 4'4". This is valuable real estate, these front row tickets, because if you're in the back row, all you see is a forehead bouncing up and down the entire show. The show sat, like, sit by a speaker. You're fine. Like, and he was laughing the whole time. It was fantastic. And And if you want to see my show, get your tickets and get there early so you're not in the back. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow.
Hey, you're taking Comedy my Club. Job, you know. I realize you worked in radio, but that's my job.
I know. Right. I like to plug. I like to make sure. All right,
here's the phone numbers and the web address. You might as well finish
all
it
right,
all up.
Hold on. I'll even do the radio voice. All right, everybody. Brad Williams tonight, tomorrow, 7:30, 10 p.m. Tickets available at heliumcomedy.com. That's heliumcomedy.com, 215-496-9001. All right. We got some Randy Newman, and we got John Mellencamp at the top of the hour. We got weather, traffic, weather, and then we got Journey coming up. Will you be faithful? Let's find out. Let's listen to Journey right here on the radio. How's that?
Good? Brad Williams, our guest.
Wow.
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You were going to put that somewhere. You're sick.
102.9.
Probably means the end of a great career.
Yeah, I would say so.
MGK.
You're fired.